is. Very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. What an interesting day, yesterday. The Minister of Justice and the Chief of Police, Drew Harris, has condemned the behaviour of protesters at yesterday's protest in Coolock. Now, as you all know, if you watched it, I'm going to be honest with you, both the protesters and the police, I believe, on all occasions, behaved despicably. It's not the kind of policing I'm used to seeing here in Ireland. I did see a couple of individuals being, I believe, unfairly treated by the police, but I also seen a lot of individuals with that protest who weren't protesters, who were just people looking for trouble. So I seen both sides of the story yesterday. We might get around to talking a little bit about that a bit later on, but first, it's a very interesting story in Grip Media there, and I was just reading it. It says the church has taken a stand on the issue of abortion as the number of babies killed rises, according to Father Gabriel Burke, the Cork-based priest. He said after it emerged that he had denied the Minister of State, Colin Burke, communion over his support for appealing the Eighth Amendment. Now, we did ask Minister Burke to come on the air, but he said he wasn't willing to comment any more on the matter. But the curate of Blarney Parish, Father Burke, confirmed that he had refused Mr. Burke the Eucharist at a funeral mass in St. Patrick's Church in Whitechurch on Friday because of his support for abortion. And according to Father Burke, it is the third time that he has denied the Fine Gael politician communion since 2018 and the referendum took place. Now, obviously, Mr. Burke is not very pleased about this whole thing. He said, he gave, and I'm just quoting what Mr. Burke said on radio in Cork, he gave me a blessing. I advised that I was here to receive Holy Communion. He said, you're not getting Holy Communion. And I said, I'm here to receive Holy Communion. He then leaned forward and advised me that you've been excommunicated. So in front of the family, I decided that there was no point in having any further discussions about the matter. It wasn't appropriate, so I moved off at that stage. I mean, obviously moved away from the altar, I assume. So the question really is, I suppose, that we're asking on the show today is, can you be a Catholic or a practicing Catholic and be one of the 67% of people who voted in favour of abortion? So can you actually be both? We kind of asked this question back a few years ago when it was in relation to the other referendum, which is marriage equality. And although the Catholic Church objects to, I suppose, the sexual act of homosexuality, of gay relationships, you know, the Pope himself has said that we shouldn't judge people in relation to same-sex marriage, etc., etc. But, you know, can you be a Catholic and be gay was the question I asked going back a few years ago. Well, I'm kind of asking the same question here now. Can you support abortion and a woman's right to choose, which is what they say, and also, you know, be a practicing Catholic at the same time and not get excommunicated? Well, to give you a bit more information on what, by the way, if you want to text or call, you want to get involved in this conversation, you can. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, as I said, we did give the opportunity for Minister Colin Burke to come out the air, but he declined the opportunity and said that he's kind of done talking about it. But Father Gabriel Burke is the priest in this story, and he joins me on the air. Father Burke, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Lloyd.
It's kind of an interesting conundrum, because if you're going to refuse Colin Burke communion and say he's excommunicated, then what about the 67% of the voting population that kind of agreed with him? Are they all excommunicated as well?
You see, as I explained to the Irish Times, it wasn't because of the referendum. It's because of his being a legislator.
Hmm.
Because the difference is, you know, we don't know why people, you know, some people would have voted, yes, I want abortion and I'm going to vote this. Some would have thought it's just removal of the eighth, and in itself, that is neither right nor wrong. So that's the referendum is a bit more complex.
Well, yeah, but give us a little bit of credit. Give us all a little bit of credit. I think most people knew what they were voting for. They were voting for abortion. And morally, I don't personally agree with abortion. I don't judge other people for the decisions they make in their lives, but I don't agree with it. And that's just my personal view on it. But in saying that, you know, to suggest that people didn't know what they were voting about for, they all knew morally what they were voting for.
No, I didn't say all the people. You know, you have to take each individual case. There's a lot of people who just thought they were getting rid of the amendment. And yes, they probably thought, well, this will open it up to abortion. But that's different than actually legislating for abortion. You see, he could have done things that, you know, would have lessened, you know, we've 49,000 babies murdered. So he could have done things to lessen that by having counsellors inside the hospital, or having, like they're doing now in Italy, having a scan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have used some way, but he didn't. He just went down the party line. And like, you can't, you know.
So are they all, like Simon Harris, for example, the Taoiseach of the country? if he arrived down tomorrow, you know, and you obviously were, you know, holding a mass and he came in
no,
to receive...
No, I wouldn't give him... I would not give him communion. Actually, him above all, because...
Because he led it. Yes, I mean, he led the thing. And he wrote a letter to his local constituents saying he was pro-life. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just bizarre. But, I mean, that just shows you the mentality of Irish politics.
But the contradiction... When I tell you... You know, Gabriel. And I hope you don't mind me calling you Gabriel. Sorry, Father Gabriel. But
you're all right. No, yeah. You're all right.
I mean, here's a contradiction. I remember covering a story going back many years ago, and I'm going to remind you. You may remember the story yourself. In 2009, there was a 9-year-old girl in Brazil, and she was repeatedly raped by her stepfather, and she became pregnant with twins. The hospital decided that it wasn't physically possible for her to give birth, and the only way out of it was to either terminate the pregnancies or she would die. The hospital staff who administered the termination were excommunicated by the local bishops at the time. Now, I know this was, I think it was since overturned, but they didn't, but here's the thing. They were asked would they excommunicate the stepfather who was the rapist, and they said no, because that doesn't come under what they call canon law code of 1983. And for those who don't know about canon law, right, you know, this is canon law 1312 and 1331, right? And
you're very good.
Yeah, I'm going to read it for people who don't know about it. Okay, so the Code of Canon Law attaches the penalty of automatic excommunication to the following actions: apostates, desecration, a person who physically attacks the Pope, a priest who is in confession and solicits another to violate the Sixth Commandment, a bishop who consecrates another bishop without, I thought that was papal mandate, and a priest a priest who violates the seal of confession, a person who procures an abortion, accomplices who are needed to commit an action that has an automatic excommunication policy. So I'm assuming that's the one you're going on, right? Okay, so it's accomplice who are needed to commit an action that has an automatic excommunication penalty, 1329. So in other words, the person who procures an abortion, so anybody who voted for it, I'm assuming you believe is an accomplice.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Catholics anyway should stand up and say, look, I'm Catholic. And if I'm Catholic, I don't do that. I've said this to you before many years ago. Our problem today is we have too many people who say they're Catholic, but they're not Catholic. I wish more people would be a bit like you, would step out and say, well, look, I don't believe. So I'm no longer Catholic. Now, it's great to see. I know people will think I'm daft, but it's great to see.
No, I don't think you're daft. I think you're standing by your principles, but... You know, when you pick on one particular person or isolated person, and by the way, I don't know, and you could answer me this question, do you have the power to excommunicate people? Because I thought it had to be a bishop or it had to be the Pope himself.
No, it's the person themselves. So, and the Pope himself has said that any politician who legislates for abortion, he doesn't say excommunicated, he says out of communion.
Right.
Which is the exact same thing. And he said that they should not present themselves for communion. And Archbishop Eamon Martin said that a legislator who legislates for abortion is cooperating with evil and should not present themselves for communion. So the question isn't so whether he's excommunicated or not. Because, you see, ignorance saves. Like you read there in that article. If you don't know that you're going to be excommunicated, well, then you're not excommunicated. So you take the case of a woman. I would say that most women under the age of 40 know very little about their faith, and they wouldn't even know that there's an excommunication to an abortion. So the vast majority of women nowadays would not be automatically excommunicated because they don't know. It's in canon law, ignorance saves.
But here's the thing. Do you refuse communion, and forget about the excommunication part, to people who are habitual sinners?
Yes, you can, yes.
Okay, well then why don't you refuse communion then to most people? Because there are single parents, I suppose, or people who are living together who are not married, or they're all habitual sinners, aren't they?
No, single parent is an habitual sinner.
Well, they are, because they're not married.
They're not so, but that's
a kind of sin, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I have done that in the past.
Okay, what about a gay couple come into the church and they want to have communion? I don't know how you'd know they're gay. Maybe they're holding hands.
That's just it. How would you know?
Well, maybe they're holding hands walking in or something. I don't know.
I tell you what's very funny about that. I say the traditional Latin Mass.
Yeah.
And I won't say where it was, but there was always this woman coming up for communion. And I remember saying to the sacristan one day, I said, cut the poor woman. She's aged, really. That's not a woman. That's a man.
All right. You never know nowadays. You never know. But okay, so if a gay couple or a gay person who you're familiar with, you know, in the community, and you know they're a same sex couple or whatever, if they went for communion, would you refuse them?
I would have told them beforehand not to.
To rather than embarrass them.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I mean, this. You see. I hate to say this.
But is that not a bit judgmental? Didn't the Pope say, you know, that we shouldn't be judging people? And he's kind of a bit cooler about the whole thing, isn't he? And he's a little bit more lax than the previous Pope about the whole thing. I know you can't change the rules. I understand you can't.
It depends who he's talking to. I mean, for instance, if you were in Germany now and you're a Catholic and you sign to say you don't pay the church tax, do you know you're excommunicated?
Well, you don't pay your dues.
Yeah. If you don't pay the German church tax, you're excommunicated.
Do they still do that in Ireland? I mean, years ago, this chap used to call to me ma's door once a week with a little envelope. My mum would put 50 pence in it for the church dues. Do they still do that?
I leave envelopes out the back of the church, but I don't go around houses.
That's giving 50 pence.
Well, you see, we're different because we still have station masses.
Hmm.
So when I go out to say station mass, people bring envelopes.
But as we move on in time, you know, Gabriel, do you not think our interpretation, you know, I mean, the church can't afford to lose any more followers. The last thing it wants to do is lose more followers. And that's unfortunately what's happening, right? Because if you walk into the attendance of a Catholic church nowadays on a Sunday, where we used to have four masses when I was a kid, and there'd be seven priests in the parish, you're now lucky if there's one priest in the parish and one mass on a Sunday, right? And the average age group is probably over the age of 40 or 50, right? So the church can't afford to be losing more people. So is it not a case of, like every religion, I suppose, that as time moves on and society evolves and we change to some degree, I'm not saying to everything, but that, you know, the church evolves as well and has a slightly different interpretation of those rules, because you can't live by 2,000-year-old rules and interpret the same way as you would have 2,000 years ago. That has to keep changing and evolving, doesn't it?
Not necessarily. I mean, the one thing the church has been steadfast in 2,000 years is abortion. One of the oldest documents we have is the Didache, and it states about abortion, you know, for Christians. It's out of the question. And as the Holy Father says, if the Catholic Church accepts abortion, it's accepting homicide on a daily basis. And that's Pope Francis. Because who else is going to stand up for life? I've always said this. If you allow abortion, sometime you'll come along and you'll be talking about euthanasia. And isn't that exactly what
we're talking about? Well, that's next, yeah. Well, that is next, isn't it? That's the next one.
Yeah. Hmm. And I mean, everybody talks about human rights, but you can only have human rights when you're alive.
But I'm assuming the majority of politicians in your locale supported abortion. Some didn't, obviously. I'll talk to one in a second. Didn't. But some did. But I mean, so are they all excommunicated?
Well, they can't receive communion.
Hmm. They're good and pray.
And it's not just... You see, the problem is with Colin Burke is this is a blue shirt area. And he's the only politician that turns up at funerals.
But now you're making it political. See, by even saying it's a blue shirt area. But you're making it political. It shouldn't be political, should it?
No, it's not political. It's just that I was just trying to put into context that how come he's here so often.
Hmm.
Because this is a... It's not political. I mean, if it was Fianna Fáil, you'd get the same.
Mm.
But it's...
And would you turn Micheál Martin down if he popped in there for communion?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Does he know that?
It doesn't matter. I don't know. Well, they know now.
All right. So you're not stepping or standing away down from this at all. You're sticking by it, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because this is critical. I mean, 49,000 babies killed.
No, I understand the numbers. The numbers are not good. It was 10,000 last year, whatever it was. And I understand the numbers are not good. And even though there was a promise made, when I say a promise, you know, there was a suggestion at the time that the numbers wouldn't go up, but they clearly have. They've tripled, since 2018. So that's not a good thing. And nobody wants to see that. By the way, I don't judge people for the decisions they make in their own life. I have my own morals, my own moral view of life, but I don't judge others. In relation to those issues. Actually, stay there just for a second, because I want to go to Aisling Considine, who is a spokesperson for AIM2 as well. Aisling, you're with one of the only parties in the country who are pro-life or were considered to take a pro-life stance. But is Father Gabriel going a little bit far, Aisling, by, you know, excommunicating or refusing communion to anybody, you know, who would have legislated or been part of the legislation for abortion?
Hi, Niall. Yes, we are a pro-life party, and I have to say, I think it, you know, is a very principled stance that Father Burke has taken. I think we really do need a pro-life voice now in society and in government as well. That's why, I proudly align myself with AIM2 and our pro-life stance. What you alluded to there about the spiralling rates of abortion since repeal. I mean, 10,000 abortions a year, that's not what people voted for, I don't believe. You know, I think...
What did they vote for if they didn't vote for that?
Well, I think moderate Ireland, most of the voters, what they voted for was these very tough cases
Sorry, go ahead.
They were made out, you know, it was made out that, these fetal abnormality cases and, you know, when couples find themselves in very... you know, tough position.
Aisling, you're doing what a lot of people do, and you're excusing ignorance. If some people didn't know what they voted for, they shouldn't be bloody voting. I said it a million times on the radio at the time. You know, I explained to people what you were voting for, repealing the Eighth Amendment. There was nothing to do with the hard cases or those red herring cases that were being thrown out. It was nothing to do with all of that. You were repealing the Eighth Amendment, and if people didn't know that, they shouldn't have voted.
Well, I mean, to legislate for the hard cases, you had to repeal it, first of all. And the repeal was about legislating for abortion. So it could have gone either way. You could actually have legislated for even more strict controls around abortion. So all that did was allow the government to legislate around abortion. And then we were told exactly what the legislation would be with the regulation of the Termination of Pregnancy Act, you know, that elective up to 12 weeks, there would be a 3-day wait period, and, you know, for cases of fetal abnormality. So that's what you had to vote. You were given a choice, and people voting out of compassion for those very hard cases.
But here's the thing, right? So legislators, and you may be one at some point, of course, if you're running in the next general election and you become a TD. I know you ran the European elections, by the way. Thank you very much indeed for your transfers. I really appreciate them.
And yes, well, thank you for your company at the
Count Centre.
The Count Hall. We had a great time.
it was lovely to meet you, Aisling. You're a lovely person.
You too.
Okay. But in relation to, you know, what's happening here. So Father Burke is, and I don't want to talk about him out of turn. He can still hear us. He can jump in anytime he wants.
Yep.
So he kind of picked on an individual because that's a legislator, or that's because somebody who's in office, right?
Yeah.
You know, but the rest of us, well, not me, but the rest of us, the people, 67% of them, also supported Colin Burke and supported the government of Micheál Martin and Simon Harris and everybody else who asked people to vote yes. So they supported him. I'm not accepting the line of ignorance. I'm just not accepting that because that's personal responsibility by people. If you go out and vote in a referendum...
I'm not saying that they were ignorant,
I hear that from people all the time, they didn't know what they were voting for. Aisling, if you're supporting what Father Burke is doing, and that's fair enough, and I support his right to do whatever he wants to do in his own church, right? But in saying that, if you're supporting what he's doing, why isn't he, you know, excommunicating and refusing the other 67% of the population, of those people who voted and supported Colin Burke and supported Simon Harris and supported Micheál Martin and everybody else who asked for the yes vote?
Yes, so my understanding is that if you were repentant, that you can then receive communion. You know, I could murder you, Niall, tomorrow...
very repentant and remorseful the next day, which you would be, of course.
Genuinely repentant and seek communion with Christ, and then I could go and present myself for communion. You know, so But this is what I was getting at, that what people voted for compassionately, they now, I know even feminists who had, you know, the repeal jumper, who have told me, oh, I've totally changed my mind on abortion now. You know, and there is a this kind of a media, you know, the mainstream media had a lot to do with what do with this as well, and kind of hoodwinking.
Yeah, don't blame me. Don't blame me on that now.
Well, yeah, but so I think a lot of people have changed their mind a bit on it, and you know, it, the church will always welcome them with open arms if they repent, and that's my understanding.
Okay, I'm curious about that. Ashling, hang on for a second, Father Burke. If Colin Burke repented, or Micheál Martin or Simon Harris, if they all repent and said, listen, you know, and they wanted to have a little confession down there in the church and said to you, look, we're sorry, we probably shouldn't have pushed that, you know, in hindsight. If they repented, would you then give them communion?
Yes, but you'd have to see genuine repentance.
Mm.
So they would have to try as legislators to undo some of the damage.
Oh, bless it.
Yeah. The amendment was passed.
Yeah.
But you and I are old enough to remember the Seventh Amendment. In 1979. And 45 years later, it still hasn't been legislated for. The Seventh Amendment was, just a refresher, was about the Senate, about the seats for on the education panel.
Oh, that's so I vaguely remember that, yeah. So I'm glad you reminded me now. I vaguely remember that.
That has not been 45 years later, that has not been legislated.
Yeah, this is the higher education bill, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't been legislated for.
Even with repeal, I don't think people vote. They did not vote for 10,000 abortions a year. They just didn't. No. And they're kind of seeing now that what it has led to. And, you know, last year in the Doyle, Breed Smith sought to liberalise the current laws around abortion to make it legal up until birth.
Well, she didn't specifically say that. She just wanted to take away the criminality.
The people of Ireland did not vote for that.
No. She wanted to take away the criminality, which would make it legal up to birth. Yeah. I that's bonkers.
Yeah, she wants to make it legal up to birth. Yeah, like, okay. Monstrous.
Yeah, no.
So I think a lot of people have changed their minds around, you know, what was said at the time and, you know, what we were told was going to be the law. And, you know.
Yeah, and now we're changing the law. We're kind of making the law more liberal.
Can I just say one thing, Niall?
Yeah.
This is the first programme I've been on in which we're allowed to keep mentioning the numbers of abortion and actually talk about the abortion. Every other media I've been on, once you mention the numbers, they steer it to another question. It's amazing.
Why?
How freely I can speak here. It's amazing.
No, that's okay.
Just to tell you that, it is amazing that you allow such freedom. It's brilliant.
Well, that's what free speech is all about, and freedom of expression. And you have a view on it. Other people will have a view. There'll be other people that will come on the show over the course of the next 20 minutes or so, and they'll have a view on it. And
some of them will hang me.
I don't know about that. But actually, just stay there for a second, because Carl, hi, Carl, how are you? Are you there, Carl?
I'm still here.
You've been listening to Father Burke there explaining why he excommunicated refused communion to Minister Colin Burke, Minister of State, because he supports abortion. You believe you can be a Catholic and have an abortion at the same time?
I do. I'm a practicing, but I don't go to Mass every Sunday. I haven't gone to confession in years. I do believe in Catholicism, but I don't.
You said again, you do believe in Catholicism, but you don't. What, Carl? Sorry, we missed what you said there. Everybody's lying.
Believe in Catholicism.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the whole Catholic ethos. There's bits and pieces I don't believe in it.
Well, if you believe in Catholicism, you kind of have to believe in the ethos. That's like me saying I love football, but I hate the rules. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't like football. You know. I was baptized a Catholic. Okay, that's my faith. I don't want to go into my whole religion side of it.
Yeah.
But I do not believe in the whole Catholic ethos. I don't believe
in the whole ethos.
Any man. I don't believe in not the whole lot of it.
Oh, okay.
Parts of it I do believe and parts of it I don't believe.
Okay.
Right? But I think that no man or no religion should have a right to tell a woman that she can have a child or she can't abort a child. I don't believe in that whatsoever. I don't believe in going into a little wooden box and confessing your sins to a man.
Mm.
Behind the screen. I don't believe in that either. I don't think they say, oh yeah, we can forgive you. I don't believe in that.
Well, you don't have to go into a wooden box, by the way. The box was brought in, I think, Father Burke will correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think around the 12th or 13th century. That was a kind of man-made thing. You don't have to go into a box. You can have a confession, you know, in the office in the back or in public, well, somewhere where you can't be heard, obviously.
I know they do a general confession now at Mass, and everyone just says, kneel down there now and repent your sins, and God forgives you and all
that. But you don't think it's a bit silly, Carl? So you're telling me, I want to be a Catholic, but I don't agree with the rules. So, I mean, well, then you're not really a Catholic, are you?
No.
You're kind of a la carte.
I mean, what are the rules?
Well, you know the rules.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know the rules.
Well, the Bible is the rules. It's the rule book. Well, it is.
Yeah, you're saying a Bible, Noel, and now you're contradicting yourself because you say, like, who wrote the Bible? It's only word of mouth.
But it doesn't make any difference. But it is the book. It is the holy book. Just like the Quran is the holy book for Islam. You know what I mean? It's the holy book. I mean, whatever's in the Bible, and obviously the Bible was rewritten, the New Testament, so you don't go by the Old Testament, obviously. That would be kind of very difficult in a modern world. So the New Testament is there, and the New Testament tells you the rules for life. They're the moral codes for life, as written as proclaimed by Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Gabriel, I hate to be doing your job here for you, by the way.
You are. Was there actually four Bibles written? Is there any proof that there was four Bibles written? Is there any proof that
let's not go into the whole history of the Bible. The Bible is excerpts from many different books.
Yeah,
I know that. Collaborated.
So you can't turn around and say, the whole Bible is the rule book. It's not.
But that's what Christianity is based on, is it? Yeah. But it's based on that book. That's like saying, I want to join a golf club, but I don't agree with your rules. I don't want to play 18 holes. I only want to do 17. You can't do that, Carl. Sorry, Gabriel, jump in at any time here you want to, will you? Because bail me out here.
You're actually doing a great job yourself.
I never thought I'd hear the day or see the day I'd be defending the Catholic Church with such vigor. I mean...
But it's like saying, I play... Gaelic, but then wanting to use hockey sticks. You know, you're either in or you're out. And this is what I've been talking about. You know, we've too many people who think they're Catholic and talk about being Catholic, but like our friend here, reject everything.
See, Carl, I'm not in the club. You know what I mean? You know I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Now, but I've no disrespect for, I respect people's belief in God. But, you know, you don't get to pick the rules, Carl. And I'm not saying that, I'm not being mean to you, rude to you or anything. But you don't get to pick the rules.
But you're hurting my feelings now.
I do that very much. But you can't make up your own rules. You just can't.
I'm not making up rules. I mean, if Father Burke is there now, what are the Ten Commandments based on?
The Ten Commandments. They are the Decalogue.
Yeah.
The 10 words.
No, they all have one thing in common. They all have one thing in common. What is it? What is the one thing that they all have in common?
They have similarities with the pagan societies that were around it. So if you look at the Babylonian Talmud, you'll find that they're similar.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry, what was the question you asked me?
Yeah, see, Carl, it comes down... Okay, let's get back to the original point, okay? So if you walked in, Carl, and you're a supporter, let's say you're a campaigner for abortion, right? And you go up to Gabriel and you kneel before him looking for communion, he's going to tell you no, right? Because you're a supporter. I'm not saying that you just voted, you're actually a campaigner, right? He's going to tell you no. Yeah. But your argument is you can be both. You can be a Catholic and you can be in support of people who want to have an abortion. You can't.
But you can't. You know the saying is, Noel, only God can judge me. No one else can judge me, only the God I believe in.
Aisling, let me ask Aisling, is that a fair point, Aisling? Only God can judge you. Father Gabriel Burke has no right to be judging people.
I mean, if you're presenting yourself for communion with Christ, my understanding is that you must follow the teachings of the church, and in that case, you know, abortion is a deliberate ending of human life, and the Catholic Church have been, as Gabriel said, steadfast in, sorry, Father Gabriel said, they're steadfast in, you know, defending this. So, I mean, it's just hypocritical of a politician to come along and, you know, member of government enabling abortion and then to kind of present themselves for communion. Like, it's hypocritical. And, you know, we believe in separation of church and state. That goes both ways. Mm. It goes both ways. So the church, you know, are not telling people what to do, whereas politicians shouldn't be telling the church what to do either.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Aisling Considine, who's a spokesperson for AIM2. Let me go
to... Can I come in there for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
One more quick point.
Yeah.
I mean, if the church, like Father Boker said, okay, you've gone against the church, but I don't have to give you communion.
Yeah.
How many priests have stood up on that altar and broken church rules themselves and then have the audacity to hand out communion?
Give me an example of what you mean.
Let's say a man, Brendan Smith.
But he's buried and they put cement on top of his grave just to make sure he doesn't get out. So what I'm saying that doesn't make sense. If a priest is guilty of something, you know, be it paedophilia or, you know, a robbery or theft or whatever it is, right? You know, they have their own God to answer to too, and they won't be standing up on a pulpit, because I certainly wouldn't be supporting any priest, you know, who is a criminal standing up on an altar telling other people how to live their lives. So, well, I'm not a Catholic, so I wouldn't go to church, but I think most people would agree with that. So that's a bit of a moot point, Carol, because they shouldn't be standing up on a pulpit telling other people how to live their lives if they're criminals.
But the problem is
most priests are not criminals.
For a long time.
Yeah, but most priests are not criminals.
Oh, no, I know that. Oh, geez, I understand that, you know, but there has been a lot of priests, and we, over the past number of years, that have stood up on an altar and preached down to the people down there, the congregation, everyone called them, and swore like butter wouldn't melt in their mouth.
And it, well, look, you know, by the way, I was one of the very first people on radio to talk about all of that. And to be fair, right, to the occupation of priesthood, it is a small percentage of priests when you think the amount of priests that were involved in that kind of stuff, right? And obviously child sex abuse and stuff like that. The bigger problem in the Catholic Church was the idea that people knew about it and said nothing. I mean, if you want to go by occupation, school teachers are actually the most likely people to abuse children. So, I mean, it's not actually Catholic priests, but they are up there in the top 10 occupations, right? But that's only because of the past and the way we looked up to priests in the past. It's a very different world we live in nowadays. But if any priest was guilty of that or knew about that going on and didn't say it to somebody, I wouldn't have a huge amount of respect for them, and they certainly wouldn't be up on an altar in my locality. And I think Father Gabriel Burke would agree with you. Would agree with me on that. So
absolutely. And you see, the problem that he's talking about is these fellas were allowed to go on because if you look at the Cloyne report, the report into my own diocese and Dublin, what's the linking thing? Canon law wasn't used. They didn't use canon law, never mind civil law. These fellas should have been kicked out after the first...
Yeah, but Gary, no, I don't want to go too deep into that now, Gabriel, because we could spend all day talking about that. But there were previous popes involved in that as well, who knew about what was going on and facilitated the moving of priests. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, if people had followed... I know people think I'm mad following the rules, but if people had followed the rules, that should have been cleared up ages ago.
Mm.
But they didn't. Because, and a lot of the things you heard was, oh, we need it to be pastoral. I hate that word. We need it to be pastoral. Mm. Because it has caused so much suffering.
Okay, but Carol, listen, Gabriel, I appreciate you staying on the air as long as you did. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks for coming on. And I appreciate you coming on the show today. And I'm sure we'll talk again. Father Gabriel Burke. Now, Carol, stay there with me if you want, because I want to go to John O'Dea there too. John, hi, how are you doing?
Well, seeing that American politics are in the focus at the moment, I will quote former, now deceased, Ronald Reagan, right? And this is his quotation as regards abortion. He said, isn't it amazing, he said, all those people who are pro-abortion, he said, are alive. Mm. Now, ponder on that.
Yeah.
Ponder on that. Now, unlike Mr. Elliot Cart, Catholic, so-called Catholic, that you're on there, Cal, right? I mean, who basically is only contradicting and making an absolute idiot of himself, right? Claiming that he is a Catholic when he supports abortion and sees no problem with it. Right. You also have the Kenny Rogers had the famous song, The Code of the County, and that's Colin Burke, because he wouldn't come on your show today. He was able to go on other shows, but I think he's feeling the pressure and the heat now, and he's run for cover, right? So
Well, I did ask Colin to come on, and they declined. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you are. You gave him the option, and he declined because he's running for governor, but he can't stand
it. I mean, no. I think he said what he had to say, and that's it. That gets to a point where you don't want to go on. Do you know what I mean? That's okay, too, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah, but he made such a song and dance about him for us. And I believe that he really pushed the board out, and he tested Father Buck there, right, because this is the third time, like, and I believe Father Buck, like, I mean, he's not lying when he said, like, I mean, this is the third time that he tried to get communion, and this whole idea that he's been seen in the parish because he's the only Fine Gael guy that represents that area. And you know what they do, politicians, they try and be seen at as many funerals as they can because...
Good for votes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's all about bloody votes, which is another...
Well, in fairness to Father Burke, he said he would refuse communion to anybody or any politician that supported, you know, the referendum.
Well, he's 100% right on that. And anybody that voted for abortion, now, I mean, being a legislator like Burke, right, I mean, who promoted the murder...
So you're saying any one of the 67% of people who voted for abortion or voted in favour are, as far as you're concerned, not welcome in the church?
You have no business in the house of God, in any church, in any parish, in any town or any city in this country, because what you are is a ginormous hypocrite. You cannot be pro the murder of unborn children and then go down on your knees on a Sunday after voting for abortion. You are a total misfit. You are a total hypocrite. Micheál Martin was in my parish up the road near me on Good Friday, and I happened to be out of town, and a buddy rang me, and I was kicking myself, Neil, I wasn't there, because he was on his knees. The cheek of him, after standing up in the door and saying it was okay to murder in cold blood with no restrictions, an unborn child. He was on his knees in that church. Only for he was out at home. I don't care what happened. I would have walked in, stood over him, and told him to get out of the house of God. You absolute abortionist. Get out.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Saoirse as well. Saoirse, hi, how are you?
No.
Hi, Saoirse. Father Burke has said that he would refuse to give communion to a legislator who was involved in, you know, legislating for abortion. And basically, obviously, believes it's hypocritical for you to even be looking for communion if you voted for abortion or you're in favour of abortion. Is he right?
How dare he? Oh. How dare he?
Yep.
It is not the role of a priest to stand in between a person and their faith. They are to facilitate our faith.
A person who has promoted murder. This is what you're talking about.
Hang on, John. Let her finish.
I have stood on the side and listened to the waffle for long enough. It is now my turn to talk, okay?
Mm. Are you married, no?
It is not a priest, a low-lying fruit of a priest. It is not their job to stand in the way of a... Would he deny a criminal in prison a communion? Would he?
No,
would
that...
Would he deny...
No, because the criminal has murdered nobody.
See,
the only criminal that we're talking about are the politicians that promoted abortion. They are the criminals, not some fella that robbed something out of pennies that's inside in jail.
I'll tell you what, the criminals are in the Vatican because the Catholic Church is a mafia, okay? And that's neither here nor there, but that's the fact, okay? And earlier, you were talking about the Bible being... There's only one group of Christians that take the Bible literally, and they're fundamentalist Christians. Everybody else interprets it whatever way suits them, including the Catholic Church.
And by the way, you're right, Saoirse. You can interpret it, and we should interpret it, as I said to Father Burke, in a quite modern way. But here's the thing. You know, there are a set of guidelines that are still quite strict in the Catholic Church and within the Bible. And, you know, part of that is the Code of Canon Law. And canon law is quite strict. It specifically mentions, it mentions a lot of things, apostates, desecration of the Eucharist, etc., etc. But it also mentions violating the seal of confession or a person who procures an abortion or accomplices who are needed to commit an action that has an automatic excommunication penalty. So in other words, you'd be, if you brought somebody for an abortion or legislated for an abortion, you're an accomplice.
Yeah, exactly.
For somebody, excuse me, I will hang up. For somebody who is not a Catholic, you are reading from the book as if you believe in all of the hocus pocus. Can I just say, this is very reminiscent of the days, okay, when we would refuse to bury unbaptized children in graveyards by the church. You are denying people a part of their right to exercise their faith. It is nobody's business to get in the way of a person and their access to what they believe is God and their faith.
And
it is
either
not
be pro-abortion or have had an abortion.
And it is can I ask for something, girl? I'm not finished.
Let her finish.
Stop talking. And I would have. I deeply regret not being on when that priest was on, because I presume that priest is out protesting for the church to make good on all of its previous mistakes, because we're talking about human beings being, you know, not perfect. There are many,
we're
many
talking
mistakes.
About murder.
The Catholic, excuse
we're talking
me.
About murder.
Excuse
we're talking
me.
About oh, murder.
How convenient! How convenient that we're not talking about many of the mistakes and the abominations that the Catholic Church are responsible for. We're talking about the church, okay? And it's
we're talking about killing children. We're talking about killing children.
Let me tell you, it has certainly lost the right to have any kind of moral stance on any human being on this
now,
island.
Can I ask her a question? Would she ever consider having an abortion herself?
She probably won't stop talking, so let's ask the question.
Excuse me, would she ever consider having an abortion herself? Part of me hopes that people like Father Gabriel continue to make these ludicrous choices, because the last remaining few souls who give two shits about the church will be not long leaving it, and we will have no people going to the Catholic Mass.
No, hang on, Saoirse, can I ask you, are you a Catholic?
As I'm sure you're all super afraid, we'll have everybody going to the mosque.
Okay, can you clarify something for me, Saoirse? Are you a Catholic?
About my personal.
How about you go away and bow your head? Go away and bow your head.
Saoirse, it is kind of relevant to the topic, isn't it?
I don't care what is relevant. My opinion is that this.
You have a clue what you're talking about.
Hang on, let her answer it, John.
Can I ask you a question? Would he stand in the way of this person and their entrance to the pearly white gates of heaven? Would he?
Who? Father Burke?
Yeah, would he?
But it's not his job to decide who gets through the pearly white, gates of heaven. He's not standing there with a list.
We're all pretending this is real. Would he stand there and would he send them to eternal damnation because of this?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, he did say that if any of those ministers or TDs wanted to come and have a confession and be remorseful about promoting abortion, that they can happily receive communion afterwards, once they're remorseful and they, you know, repent.
It's not makey-uppy,
because if one of your friends does something wrong in you, Saoirse, and they apologize, that's repenting, isn't it? It's the act of repenting.
That church was built by the parishioners of the past, blood, sweat and tears. Those priests stand at the pulpit preaching morality. They serve us. It is not up to them to decide who gets to come in and enjoy the nice.
But it
is.
Well, now, with the greatest respect, it is up to them, Saoirse. Now, I'm not part of their club. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not a Christian. I have good morals, I believe, but I'm not any of those things. I don't believe in God. But if I want to be part of that club and I want to be proclaimed to be a Catholic, and then I got to live by the rules. So it is up to them, isn't it?
That club, Niall, is functions like the mafia.
Then don't join it. Why wouldn't I join a club if I believed it functioned like the mafia? Then don't join it. Don't join the club, so.
These people are putting themselves forward as some kind of gatekeepers to faith and religion in this country.
But they are the gatekeepers. They're the gatekeepers of life. The gatekeepers of life.
I can't hear you because you are bellowing.
Your contribution there, and now she mentioned heaven there about who controls who goes in. Well, there's one thing certain. If you're the legislator and you promoted the murder of Irish children, right, or if you've had an abortion and you've had no genuine regret, you will never see the other side of heaven or the afterlife. Never.
Okay, well, say that.
We're dealing with people who think they know who is allowed into heaven. Now, do you see the silliness of this?
But I think people know by the rules who's allowed into heaven. Like, I probably wouldn't get into heaven.
That is not that.
I don't think you would either. I don't think you'd get into heaven either, Saoirse.
Okay, well, I guess I don't know what I'll do now with myself for the rest.
I think you're on a highway to hell, to be honest with you.
I've been told I'm not allowed into heaven by a talk show host. Oh, no, what would I do?
stay there. No, but stay there for a second. Let me go to Sharon. Sharon, are you on a highway to hell? Sharon, do you believe the priest has a right to turn down a politician because they were part of a campaign or part of a government who legislated for abortion?
I don't think you can be refusing people communion, but I do see John O'Dea's point at the same time in that I don't hold totally abortion. But I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think I'd be refusing communion because that's taking
It's in the law.
It's
in the law. It's in the rules, you know, of being a Catholic.
Since when? Going back to the 12 apostles.
No, but the law was updated in 1983, the Code of Conduct. And this is the 1983 Code of Canon Law, which is originally around since, I think, the kind of 1200s or something like that. Okay, so these are the laws brought in by the Catholic Church. These are their own canon law, which, by the way, Ireland was run under canon law up until about the 60s. So,
okay, but I think it's a very personal thing for people. I know my faith is a very personal experience of everything I have lived up to this day. And I couldn't refuse to give someone communion because they may be feeling, you know, regretting what they did, and that might be why they're looking for communion. I think everybody is.
Right.
Well, I do.
Child murderers.
Where does it stop, Niall? Are the priests to be deciding, you know, everything about your life and what's correct and what's not correct? You don't think that's a slippery slope to what?
Yeah, but let me give you an example. If I owned a supermarket and somebody came in and stole something, and I kicked them out, got security to kick them out, and barred them then from that supermarket. Is that not my choice to do that? Because they did something wrong that goes against the rules of my supermarket.
I'll tell you what your choice is there. I don't know, because can I answer that? Because that is a private company.
Yeah.
The church is for the society. It was built by parishioners. It serves us, much like the government is supposed to serve us. That's not a good analogy.
But
the church wouldn't marry me. Now, can I just make this point? The church wouldn't marry me and my husband because we were living in our house for 6 months before we got married and refused to marry us, which I think was absolutely ridiculous.
What a fantastic choice by the church that makes perfect sense. Once again.
Yeah.
I suppose that depends on the priest, because the priest classed you as what they called habitual sinners.
You living in sin, caller, are a menace to society, clearly.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad I did live with him because I found out the fabulous person he was and I should definitely marry him.
Mm. Yeah.
By living with him.
Can we imagine how many cases of domestic violence might have been avoided if we allowed women to live with the men that they were going to marry? And we don't want to do that. We want to get them in. And then we tell them divorce is a sin. It makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Okay, well, stay there. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you? Angela.
I'm grand. How are you?
Good. Angela, does the priest have a right to refuse anybody who promoted abortion?
No.
Why not?
No,
it's their rules, isn't it? Them's his rules.
It's their rules, but does he refuse somebody who has murdered someone? Does he refuse someone who has raped someone?
No, it depends if they're in breach of canon law. It comes down to canon law, see? You know what I mean? Some things are forgivable, others are not.
Listen, everybody knows my story, and if they don't, it's I had determination. My priest.
Yeah, well, you're excommunicated. Sorry, Angela.
Well, tell that to the priest who married me after.
No, because it says there, a person who procures an abortion, which is section 1398 of canon law, you're automatically excommunicated.
Oh, geez, I better go down and have a chat with the priest, though, because 14 years ago he married me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he married me and my husband.
Yeah, but did he know? Did he know?
He did.
Okay.
Because I sat and had a chat with him about it.
Right, okay.
And, you know, so he did know. I don't think he should, because, you know, canon law, what else is in canon law? If you murder someone, is it?
No, I'm looking at the particular section. The canon law is quite, I don't have the whole book here, but the canon law is quite detailed. But in relation to what they call automatic excommunication, it's a person who's apostate, desecration of the Eucharist, a person who physically attacks the Pope, a priest who in confession solicits another to violate the Sixth Commandment, a bishop who consecrates another bishop without papal mandate, a priest who violates the seal of confession, in other words, snitches, a person who procures an abortion, or an accomplice who were needed to commit an action that has an automatic, in other words, anybody. So if I brought you on the boat or the plane to get your abortion, I'm in on the deal with you, so I should be excommunicated too.
Can I interject? Nobody in this country could get a piece of a wafer if this is the case. Come on, this is silly. None of us.
Mm.
Now,
a piece of wafer. A piece of wafer.
I'm going to pull you on that now, please.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, now, see, you're the one about talks about having respect for other people, and you just referred to, you know, communion as a piece of wafer.
I'm going to say, if John O'Dea is still on the line,
no, he's not.
That's very disrespectful. That's very disrespectful to John O'Dea.
Yeah.
It's very disrespectful to him and his beliefs.
Disrespectful to the man who was making puppy sounds while I was speaking. I don't care for disrespecting him or you.
But he's not the only one. You're a bloody bore. That's why. You know,
okay,
that's got nothing to do with your beliefs. It's because you're a bore.
Well, you are so fascinating, Angela. Thanks.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
How's it going, everyone? How's it, man?
Yeah, there you go. Saoirse obviously believes that, she referred to communion as a piece of wafer, but however. You know, she doesn't respect canon law, and she doesn't believe, like, if somebody wants to be a Catholic and, you know, they want to support abortion, she believes they should be allowed to do so.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, we're trying to have our cake and eat it here. You are either a believer in the Catholic Church or you are not. So if you are a believer in the Catholic Church and the teachings of Christ, you will agree with the canon law and then say, look, I did breach that rule and I accept that rule that I breached and I cannot receive the communion ever. Well, hold on, Saoirse. Just hold on a second. Now, canon 915 says those who have been excommunicated or interdicted after the imposition or declare or declaration of the penitence. Obstinately preserving in manifest grave sin or are not to be admitted to the Holy Communion. The priests are actually prevented. Hold on, Saoirse. Just wished for a second. They're prevented from giving you this or they will be excommunicated. They breach the canon law if they give you the communion. Now, why as a priest would they risk that on someone who is clearly not worth their time in the Catholic Church, that hates the Catholic Church, doesn't agree with any of its rules, and is clearly trying to break down the strength and the structure of the Catholic Church and 2,000 or so year old beliefs for someone who thinks, you know what, I should actually be entitled to ruin the church with feminism or intersectionality. I should be allowed to do that and change the thing. Well, you shouldn't. The laws are there within the church. If you don't like it, the church isn't for you. And you can go and join up, you know,
another
whatever
church.
Other kind of group agrees. Yeah, another church or another group that agrees with you. Methodists are far more liberal and you'll probably get on a lot better.
Fair point. That's what I said from the very start, Saoirse. Look, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Catholic. But the reason I'm not is because I don't agree with some of their rules. But I do agree with others. I think I have good morals. But Saoirse, if you don't like the club, don't join it. Simple as, isn't it?
It's not that simple. example. That's like saying, well, if you don't like ESB, don't have electricity. This is
power. But you can go to Panda Power, or you can go to somewhere else if you don't like ESB.
You can now, yes. But like, there are no there's no real alternative to having grown up.
There is an alternative. The alternative is you don't be part of it. That's the alternative.
Excuse me. It's embedded. It's had a stronghold on our childhood education, which is utterly removed from how the fabric of society functions. Fine, give me another choice. But for many people, it is not just a church. It is their memories. It is their families. It is their childhood. So it is absolutely ridiculous to think that people will just cast it aside. And it is their pathway to accessing their faith. And I'm sorry, but whoever that man was there quoting
Stephen,
from Wikipedia.
Stephen.
Yes, okay.
He wasn't quoting from Wikipedia. He's just quite a knowledgeable man.
I can tell you now, you're not living according to canon law. I don't have it open on the web browser in front of me, but I can tell you you're not.
By the way, none of us live according to canon law or according to the rules of the church. None of us. Anybody who says they do is a liar. But the difference is, hang on, let me finish, Saoirse. The difference is, if you break one of those rules and you commit a sin, whatever type of sin it happens to be, you can, you know, go back to a priest the following day. You can have a confession, of course, you can be freed of, you know, or you can be given a punishment for that sin by saying a prayer. You can repent for that sin.
Okay.
And because of that, you have a clean slate again. That's the way it works.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
rules.
So since we're on the topic of the unborn baby and how we're all so afraid of harming the unborn baby. Okay, where is the...
Why are you not afraid of harming an unborn baby?
Well, I absolutely...
Because you said that kind of with a level... You said that with a level of sarcasm, but go on.
Well, okay. So we're so concerned about the unborn baby.
We are. And we should be. Okay. Yeah, we should
be.
Great,
and I think that's fantastic. So going by that logic, where is the mass outrage and apology and accountability for the 800 baby... Born but dead babies that we found in June. Where is the Catholic response from all of the priests? I'd love to know what Gabriel said. And did he apologise for being part of an organisation responsible for that?
Well, the organisation did apologise in relation to that.
According to this, as a representative of the institution responsible for that, did he say sorry?
I didn't ask him personally, but I'm pretty sure, knowing because I've spoken to Father Burke in the past, I'm pretty sure he would be ashamed of any wrongdoings of the church of the past.
I'll tell you what, Niall. I think if you had a priest apologising for that on your podcast, you would be on the paper tomorrow.
But hang on for a second. You know, you turning around and asking one priest, is he sorry for what a lot of other religious organisations, including the Catholic Church, did 30, 40 years ago, is like me asking you as a white person, are you ashamed of slavery? You know, the way white people treated black people many years ago. So that's a bit of a stupid statement, Saoirse.
Excuse me. Keeping the comparison relevant
to what
we're talking about, it is like denying one politician who is one of very many a piece of a biscuit because they voted a particular way in a referendum.
Let me ask Stephen just to take up your argument. Stephen, please, just let me ask Stephen the question you're putting forward there, Saoirse. Stephen, you know, obviously the Minister of State, Colin Burke, and many other ministers were quite instrumental in bringing in legislation in 2018 in relation to this. So on those grounds, was he right to refuse him? And if that is the case, then why not refuse everybody who voted for it? And let's not claim ignorance that people didn't know what they were voting for. Well, then surely we should, by that, you know, manner, everybody was instrumental. They were all accomplices according to canon law because they all gave a vote. So why not refuse them all, Stephen?
Well, see, all of those people that we're talking about did not go to that priest. He went to that priest.
No, I mean, you're missing the point. 67% of his congregation, most likely, because 67% of voters, voted for abortion. So technically, according to canon law, they were all accomplices. So should they not all be refused?
Yeah, but how many of those 67% attend church?
I would imagine quite a substantial amount.
No, I'd say none of them. And anyone that's voting against abortion is not walking in the door of a church and blessing themselves in 2024. that, you know, let's be honest about it. Churches are pretty much empty at this point. But to say whether this man should have been refused the communion or not, yes, within the laws of the church, they've done exactly what they were expected to do, what they're asked to do by their teachings. That's what the priests have to do.
But Stephen, why are they not doing what they're expected to do when they're at fault? Why are you holding them to the letter of the law when it comes to this silliness and not when they are an institution that is still not paying out survivors' property? I don't understand stupidity of your stance.
No, you're asking me one question. I've answered that question, and you've said, why haven't I answered all the other questions in the universe as well? Would you assume I wouldn't agree with that?
In this country, we seem to have some kind of inability to understand that we should be treated better. We actually are owed better treatment by our church.
Let me answer your question.
From their dogma. That we don't understand that actually they're a bunch of hypocrites, they're dangerous, and they are like the mafia. And we are too We are too preoccupied with obsessing over some 22-year-old who wants to get rid of a baby she doesn't want. Because we'd rather blame the women of this country for having abortions and exercising their right over their own body than we would blaming all the men in charge of this mafia for the destruction that they were responsible for in this country.
Okay,
I'll answer your questions here, Sir. Like, why don't I?
No, I know. Let him answer.
You've
asked a question, now you won't let him answer it. Let him answer the question.
To answer your question, Saoirse, nearly everyone in the country has campaigned for justice on the 800 babies in Tuam thing. In fact, I'm heavily involved in campaigning against the likes of Roderick O'Gorman, burying reports on crimes in the Catholic Church. And you'd probably give out about the fact that I do that. But, you know, there's a hypocrisy on your end there. And I really take issue with the fact that you said, get rid of a baby she doesn't want. And you said that as if that's something...
Blasé, quite blasé, yeah.
I to be honest with you, I think that's fucking disgusting. And you can take that.
Okay, here we are. I don't care.
It's clear that you clearly don't care. I think it's the language you use, Saoirse. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. People who are pro-life probably upset you when they use the word murdering unborn children, because that's the language they use. But to suggest, you know, they want to get rid of something. A baby is not a commodity.
I said baby. I mean, I thought you'd be happy. I said baby and not fetus. I did that for you.
I don't need you to do that for me. Thanks very much indeed. I really don't need you to do that.
Okay.
Let me just say something here now. Were the 800 babies in Tuam not abortions?
You're terminating the conversation, are you?
What are you saying about the 800 actual born babies?
You're saying actual born. There's actually a lack of birth cert records and other records there to prove edgeways. The mother and baby homes, where there were many dead babies, where you campaign for women to do what they want to do with their bodies. How many of those were abortions?
I don't know, but how many of those were abortions? Tell me now.
Or what if the women were saying, I don't want this child, and they say, here, you do something with the child, the church, and the church valuing life, trying to do something with it.
Are you blaming the women in the mother and baby homes for being totally traumatized and making decisions that you don't think are moral? Are you telling me that?
No, actually, what I'm saying is that the problem with women seeking to terminate pregnancy or get rid of their children, like you said, is that way back then we saw the problem. We saw the problem when women went to England for abortions. And now that we've legislated for abortion, we have 10,000 dead babies.
I didn't hear that they wanted to do that.
I didn't make anyone go anywhere, you see.
No, I know, but I saw the problem being that we were forcing women to leave the country to do something that they should have been able to do here.
In your view, they should have been able to do here. In the view of 33% of the population, they shouldn't be able to do here.
Well, how shameful. How shameful. we made those women get
it's down to individual responsibility.
See, I mean, this comes back to Saoirse. Sorry, I want to go to Darianna Sean in a second, but this comes back to Saoirse very quickly. I had a campaigner in the studio, in the radio studio, going back about 5 years ago, whenever, or 2018. She's not even going to listen.
She called it a fetus and a baby when she got pregnant. Is this the story?
That's the story, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you heard me saying it before, did you? Yeah, I think it was important to point that out. You know, a baby is only a baby seemingly when you want it. Is that the case?
This is fine, Niall. I purposely said the word child because I know that for people like you, it's important to call it a child. It's not my belief. My belief it is the
so what is it?
It is a fetus. It is the medically correct term, which is fetus. Of course. Obviously,
so it's not your baby. So if in the future you ever decide to have children, Saoirse, and you go for your first scan, you'll say, look at my fetus. Isn't it lovely?
Is that what you'll say?
Is it? You won't say, look at my baby.
Of course you call whatever you want. You see, people like you and Stephen and whoever
like me.
Else is on this show, you don't seem, the penny hasn't dropped. You call it what you want.
I know you can call it, but you can call it a bicycle shed if you like. I couldn't care less what you call it. That's your business. But I'm just going to say to you, in the future, if you decide to have children, I don't know whether you have or not, and you go for your 12-week scan, are you going to tell people, look at the scan of my beautiful fetus?
I'll tell you what I call it. I call it what I choose to, and that is the entire philosophy behind pro-choice.
The point I'm making, Saoirse, is it seems to be only a baby for some women if they want it.
And
it's not a baby otherwise.
When we're talking in a medical context, which is abortion care, you call it the medically correct term.
Yeah, but I'm asking, you're not a doctor. A doctor will refer to the same way as doctor refers to parts of your body differently to the way you refer to them. Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Darianna. Darianna.
Hi, Niall. Do you know what?
Oh, she's fucking insufferable. Sorry, Frank. I'm losing the rag.
Oh, listen. listen, a couple of things. Stephen, I actually fully agree that if you're in the club, you have to follow the rules. And because of that, in my early 30s, I went to the Archbishop's house to sign off from the Catholic Church, and they wouldn't let me. But I don't consider myself, I mean, I'd be delighted if they excommunicated me. But in the relation to that guy down in Cork, the politician, he's playing games. He was told three times, you know, by that priest who seemed to be very fair. And he's, you know, he's doing the rules.
But was the priest right to kind of single him out, so to speak?
Well, because he said...
Well, I know, he'd been there three times before. I know, or twice before.
Yeah, well, I think if I was the priest, I would have just passed by him. I just wouldn't have got into confrontation because that's what the guy wants. And
I'm just making the point. And as much as I agree with the point Stephen is making, I generally agree with a lot of what Stephen says. And I agree with what you're saying too. And you know, I agree with the priest having the right to do that as well because it's their club. They can do what they want, right?
But in
saying that, you know, you could equally argue that many people who would be in the parishioners who would be there would have supported abortion. Some of them, Stephen says maybe not too many. I don't know how many. There's still a percentage. So, I mean, realistically, you can't just pick and choose who you want to implement the rules to.
Well, no, you can't. But does he know who the other people are? Like, if they step forward, they're not going to step forward and say, I voted for abortion. If they feel they're going to be excommunicated.
I'm sure the Pope would be quite happy tomorrow, you know, for Simon Harris to come and visit him or, you know, and have an audience, shake his hand and kiss his ring or whatever they do. But I mean, so that's all a bit hypocritical, isn't it? I mean, Simon Harris is one of the biggest campaigners in the country. You know what I mean?
It's totally hypocritical, and that's what always got me. And Saoirse alluded there to, you know, the church being so great growing up. Not half of us growing up in this country and what they did and what they didn't do. I'm not going to go into it. But they're so fair enough if that priest believes by his club, would say, or cult, as I'd say, then yeah, but you cannot be a la carte. That's in my mind, or you're being a hypocrite.
Stephen, is that not a fair point? You know, kind of. Father Burke, although I like the man, he's a nice man, picking and choosing the rules, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if you really want to go down that road, you know, there's a load of people shouldn't be getting communion because they're living with their boyfriends. Or there's a load of people shouldn't be getting communion because they had a baby out of wedlock. Or there's a load of people because they're habitual sinners. So they shouldn't be getting communion. So, you know what I mean? You can't be picking and choosing just to make examples of people, Stephen.
No, but I think there is logic to what he done. And I'll try to explain it. But by also saying that, first of all, just to preface this, that when we do see a good priest administer the rules, that's when we have a problem. And I think it should be the other way around. When he's not administering the rules, we take issue with that. But the, you know, if we are supporters of the church, that is. But what I think this priest has done is he has identified someone within the parish who has deceived a great many people on the issue of abortion. And although people may have voted for him, possibly followed him in voting for abortion, he is the one that led the flock astray. Mm. And by saying to him, look, I can't possibly, in my good conscience, breach the canon law for you because of how severe what you've done is, I'm not going to give you communion. Like what the lady before me said, he even warned him and said, this is the case. Please don't come up for communion. And he still did it. And that's an antagonist. Someone who has brought in something that goes completely against the rules of the church and is pushing the issue within the church, you know, functions and insisting on receiving communion. He's just an agitator, and that priest is right to remove him. There's nobody else in that church or in his parish doing that, only this man.
Stay there. Well, stay there for a second. Well, hang on, Stephen. Let me go to Sean as well. Sean, hi, how are you?
And there was original sins and venial sins and mortal sins.
Well, I remember, I remember all the different names they had on sins. Yeah, that's right. I think that still exists, obviously. Yeah, I remember when as a kid I was told about those type of sins. My mother used to tell me what sin was what and how it qualified as a certain type of sin. But this is a serious sin. I mean, let's be clear about it. Abortion, obviously, because it breaches canon law.
Well, it's a much bigger sin than living with someone pre-marriage, isn't it?
Well, it is a bigger sin than that, yeah, it is, clearly, because doesn't get you excommunicated.
You know what, we got good going out of it in all the mainstream media the last 3 or 4 days, a little bit of Catholic bashing now just to disguise all the other problems that are going on. And
yeah, probably a bit of a distraction, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, to be fair to Father Burke, you know, as the law goes, and I'm talking about canon law, he's perfectly within his rights, you know, to say that it's what they class. So somebody said to me earlier on, a priest can't excommunicate people, and they're right. Only the Pope can, right? But this particular thing, which is, you know, to procure an abortion or an accomplice who were needed to commit the action, under section 1329 and 1398 of canon law, is automatic. Excommunication.
Yep.
So in other words, you don't even have to be told about it. You're just done.
I agree with him 100%. Look, it's not for us. I was of the personal opinion with the abortion referendum. It was the only time I didn't vote. I felt it was up to women to make up their mind on what they wanted. On a personal level, I probably would have voted no. But it's up to the Catholic Church to decide their rules, who they let in, who they don't want around, who can be identified as the leader of the flock. I 100% agree with the priest in the circumstances. I don't think he did anything wrong, and if this happened in any other church, we wouldn't have this level of bashing going on.
If, for example, you know, I said earlier on to Gabriel Burke, that is it not time that when you look at the world that we live in, that maybe, you know, the rules are slightly updated or interpreted differently, or I don't know.
The church has consistently updated rules, and we know, you know, they've recently come out and said, you know, if they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, they should be entitled to the Eucharist, and that's moving on. They were a little bit slow getting there, but they've moved on. But we're talking about a core belief of the Catholic Church is the belief in life. And, you know, you mentioned the various different levels of sin. You're talking about Ten Commandments here. Thou shalt not kill. And it's
number one, yeah. It's up there.
Formed around. We get together as a group of people, as a flock, with similar beliefs, and we get together as a community to believe in something. And one of those beliefs is the preservation of life, not just unborn life, but all life. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see why we should be...
Well, then why not, as I said earlier on to Stephen, apply those rules to 67% of the voting population, because they technically you come under section 1398 or sorry 1329, which is accomplices, because because if you voted yes in the referendum, you're now an accomplice, aren't you?
First of all, it's 42% because it's
67% of the vote. I said of the voting population. I said, yeah.
And second of all, why aren't revenue and TV license prosecuting absolutely everyone? They pick out a few every year and take them as the example. And the best example is to take the politician who has forced it through, particularly coming from a party that was so pro-life for so long, and whose leader had written a letter to the Irish pro-life group saying he would support that position if he was elected, and turned around as soon as he got into office and changed it around. It's about time someone held them to account, and if that's going to be a priest in Tipperary, let it be a priest in Tipperary.
Okay, Sengal, let me go to Joseph as well. Joseph, hi, how are you?
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good. Joseph, did the priest go a little bit too far on this one?
No, I don't think he did. I think a lot of your callers have said the same thing. It's his club. They can do what they want to their club, and that's just perfectly fine. I didn't really want to talk about this specific case because I don't know much more than becomes a headline of it. But I think what used to be the way was that the church was the moral grounding for society. That was what we collectively decide is right, good, and these are our morals. And, you know, through various... I don't know, decay over many, many decades now, no one pays attention to the church. And, you know, that's very unfortunate because our morals have gone completely upside down, and we're allowing abortion and, you know, these transgenders and, you know, what is life and euthanasia and all of these things, which, I mean, most common sense people with good morality would say, no, that's not going to be in the benefit of society. And I think the Catholic Church needs to be back as the backbone of society, because if there is no group really enforcing good morality, well, what happens to society? It decays to, you know, degeneracy, to self-harm, to, you know, all of the worst types of morality, and people just doing terrible things and making excuses for it, or making
Well, you're kind of making it out like we all need to be babysat in some way.
Right?
You're kind of making it out that we all kind of need to be babysat in some way. In other words, we're incapable of deciding what's right and wrong. That somehow society needs this guidance constantly all the time. Otherwise, we lose the run of ourselves.
We need someone thinking about it and talking about it. And someone saying, okay, it is wrong. Now, why is it wrong? Practically and morally. Look, I know this is a much bigger conversation, but I was for many years an atheist. I believe you are yourself, Niall.
Yep.
But I've come back to my Catholic faith. And I've done that through seeing what the church should be, right?
But Joseph, I've good moral values. I believe I have anyway, right? But I don't have to be religious to have those. I don't agree with abortion, for example, morally. And I don't think there's anything more than two genders and all that kind of stuff. So, but in saying that, that's just moral values. I don't need religion for that.
You do, and I'll tell you this.
No, I don't.
Society does. Now, wait. Let me explain on this. There's a very good talk on this called Cut Flower Ethics. And it basically means that we collectively in Ireland have the good ethics of, you know, what was put into us by the church. Murder's wrong, life is good, da-da-da. And you pick up that flower and you can look at it and say, it's beautiful, it doesn't need the soil. And it'll stay that way for a day or two, but after that it's going to wither and it's going to decay and it's going to allow all sorts of you know, terrible ethics and terrible reasoning behind the things that we do.
So you think society would fall apart without Christianity?
Either it's going to fall apart or something else will come in to replace it. So,
let me just ask Stephen that question. Stephen, is Christianity or religion in general, there are different types of religions, of course, all over the world, geographically, depending where you're living, are they important?
Extremely. Now, a good point was made just at the end there. Well, the entire monologue there was excellent that we just heard. But at the end, a very good point was made, which is that in the absence of a strong moral structure in society, this time it's the Catholic Church, you will have like failures. But what you said, Niall, there as well, is that we don't need the church to have good morals. That is true. There is an objective morality in society. However, without the church there, other influences can take over. And as you're probably aware of, Niall, the vast amount of people out there are sheep. So whoever's in the ascendancy will dictate what's happening. For the last number of years, it's been woke, liberal,
you know, craziness. But a resurgence of a Catholic Church now would be absolutely brilliant. And to see priests applying canon law in the Mass in the church would revive it, I would say.
Okay, well, hang on, because I've only got a couple of minutes left and I want to go to Tara and I have to go to Gladys as well. Joseph, unfortunately, your phone is back to echoing again, so I'll have to let you go there. But sorry, Tara, just in relation to what Joseph was saying there a few minutes ago, do you believe, by the way, you can be a Catholic, Tara, and vote for abortion, support abortion at the same time?
I do. I go to Mass and I'm a Catholic and I believe in God. But I voted in favour of the abortion for specific reasons. But look, if that priest for the Burke knew that of my voting preference and was uncomfortable serving me communion, I would have no problem with that. It's his right to refuse me, just like it's my right to vote how I wish. You know, why should he lose his job? Because I expect the organisation to bend to me. I hate it when the woke brigade expects countries and long-standing institutions and just people in general to pander to them and change the rules. I hate that entitlement. So I will be a hypocrite to carry on with that kind of entitled behaviour myself. And I agree the church do need to revise their rules to help it survive long term, but I think that politician was quite thirsty for publicity and the church was just an easy punchbag. It was an easy target.
To be fair to the politician, he didn't start it. The priest did by refusing him communion.
But he was warned, though. He did. And in fairness, the priest was very fair. The priest said to him, like, he told him that he was uncomfortable serving him communion, and your man still
came back for more.
As one of the callers says, he was an agitator.
Well, so he came back into it twice more, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so I do think it's the priest's right to refuse. I would have no problem.
Technically it's not even actually the priest's right. It's nothing to do with the priest, because in canon law, it's an automatic excommunication. So the priest doesn't even make that rule. It's just automatic.
Yeah.
Okay, but technically speaking, the fact that you voted yes, you could, under canon law, come under the idea of being an accomplice. So you are an accomplice in some way, sorry Tara, but you are an accomplice.
You're right, I am.
You could be excommunicated similarly as well. I mean, would that bother you?
It would bother me. But, I mean, and I can't see, I mean, look, I don't think they would be carrying out mass excommunications, to be totally honest.
For
I
all
think
the accomplices. Yeah, for all the...
Yeah, yeah. Realistically, I don't think they would do that. But if they did do it, yeah, I would be upset. But it wouldn't stop me believing in God. It just means I wouldn't be able to go to Mass anymore. And
okay.
I would be upset because I'd be thinking, well, you know, it's just a bit certain, like the wedding, the first thing that you'd miss out on. So I would be upset. But
I'm just curious, sorry now, just on a general sense. Sorry, Stephen, you heard what Tara said. Stephen, and I asked this question before, by the way, about homosexuality, but can you be Catholic and be in favour of abortion at the same time?
I would say, you can consider yourself a Catholic and have these thoughts. That's the way our mind is. Like, our minds can hold positions in contradiction with each other. No, I'm not saying you can be.
I mean, you can't say I'm a Man United supporter, but I hope Man City win the FA Cup. Do you know what I mean? So that Liverpool or whatever, you know.
Confused people. We're talking about confused people who are at conflict with themselves about certain beliefs. You know, like they might believe in 90% of what the church teaches. Not 100%. And those people just exist.
Yeah, and that's fair enough if it's on the small stuff. We're talking about basic, you know, bread and butter stuff here. This is, you know, the number one rule, isn't it? The preservation of life itself.
I don't think that people should be considered from the outside looking at them Catholics and pro-abortion. That's just, you know, inconceivable. But they themselves certainly will believe that. Niall, and we do have to deal with people based on their beliefs.
Okay,
as you're aware, freedom of conscience, etc., etc.
No, I've no problem. I mean, I respect Tara's views on everything, you know, and I respect your views on everything. Yeah. You know, mine. I don't have to always agree with them. By the way, Tara, I'm curious actually. If you're a Christian and you go to church and everything else, why did you vote yes for abortion? I'm just curious. By the way, I don't care particularly if you did or didn't, but why did you?
Because I was thinking about the case of Savita Halbanarver, where her life was put at risk. And then I was thinking as well of, well, you know, there's young women out there, and well, women of all ages, who have been raped. It's an awful thing, but it happens. And they may not be caught. Now, some women would go through with the pregnancy after something like that, but a lot of women wouldn't, and they don't want to. And it's like this, if a woman wants to have an abortion, she's going to have it. I mean, women don't make that decision lightly. So she's going to have the abortion. Why make such a traumatic experience worse by having her go to a different country to do it.
Okay, so it was the difficult circumstances you were very much focused on. Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Bernie.
Kind of situation.
Yeah, Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall.
Bernie, this idea that that people are excommunicated, or we go back to the politician in the church, was Father Burke right to refuse him?
Honestly, I mean, it's not my... I think personally, I don't agree with abortion myself personally, but I have no right to take that away from anybody else if they do, if they're in, you know, because we're all supposed to love each other and be equal, and there is forgiveness, and I don't know somebody else's circumstances to have to go through an abortion. That's their decision at the end of the day. We can't make that decision. It doesn't matter. You don't look at their religion when somebody's going for an abortion. You just look at the person in the bed.
Mm.
And you have to make sure that they made that decision themselves with their partner or without their partner, whatever situation or circumstance they're in. It's not for me to judge them. They're still a human being. They still deserve to be cared for and respected. Isn't that what it's about?
It is and it isn't to some degree. And I understand, but if we're playing by the actual rules, I suppose, isn't this what I suppose some people are saying? You either live by the rules or you don't. I mean, can you... I mean, the same question I asked Stephen. Like, can you be pro-abortion and pro-gay marriage and pro-all those things and still be a Catholic at the same time?
Well, how you feel about this such a situation... I mean, I'm a Catholic. I practice as much as I can. But I can't take... I can't take... In the Catholic religion, those things are frowned upon. However, that's not how God acts. God is in. I don't believe.
But
that
you
God
get. Yeah, but you don't get to decide. I'm sorry. I'm not being smart to you. But you don't get to decide how God feels or how God acts or the rules.
No, I don't. But I just. But we're supposed to be forgiving, and isn't that the base of our? We forgive everyone, and we're not here to cast aspersions or throw.
Yeah, and you're right. And as long as the next day, as long as you tell everybody that you're sorry and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing: that's like being in a relationship and doing something that the other person doesn't like every single day, and then saying you're sorry the next day every single day, but expecting them just to go along with it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Just because
I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they're the rules. If there was another religion that included, say, you know, gay marriage and abortion, well, then you could join that one. And that would be better than being in a religion that doesn't support those things.
But as I was going to understand religion over the years, we're all being targeted, you know, everyone is, there's so many different facets of the one thing. There is a divine energy and love up there. That's what I see. And that we all live as best we can and do the best we can for each other. And it's irregardless, you don't look on the day when you're helping somebody or trying to give somebody a lift or whatever. You do that for that person.
Mm.
It's not the religion you're looking at. Are you not looking? I know people close to me who've had abortions, and I still love and support and respect them. I'm not going to change my views. I'm not here to say I stand morally proud and say I'm a Catholic and how dare you do that. You'd never be my friend again or you're never going to be whatever. You're still a human being. You're still entitled to be loved and respected, irregardless of decisions that you had to make. Because I don't know your personal situation or circumstances. At the end of the day, that's your journey. That is your life that you have to, that you want to you're accountable for.
I would imagine, Stephen, you agree wholeheartedly what Bernie just said there.
Well, absolutely. Like, you know, we do have to, like, live and get on with things. There are, unfortunately, I'm going to say something that might be a bit controversial now, but there are, unfortunately, far too many people who are not adherents to the Catholic faith in the Catholic conversation, trying to dictate how the Catholic faith or organises itself and preaches its message. And I myself have had conflict with the church all my life. And I just don't think it's our place to redefine a religion that we have no intention of sincerely taking part in. And we should only be allowing people who are sincerely taken part in that church to have a problem with the fact that that man was denied a communion bread or a communion wafer. Anyone else involved in the conversation is simply trying to apply liberal values on top of the church against its own creed. And that to me is unacceptable.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for that, Bernie and Stephen. Let me just finally go to Gladys if I can. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Yeah, Niall. There's loads that I agree and disagree with, you know. I might even go back to the church if they stopped hating women. I mean, that might have been a plus, you know.
Yeah. Well, you'd imagine there would have been female priests at this stage, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you know, look, at, you know, I'm just listening to that guy and everybody's respectful and I know exactly what he's saying. But if the church changed, it was geography. You're born in Ireland, the chances are you're going to be Catholic. You're born in Pakistan, you're Muslim.
Yeah.
And you're going to be brought up as a kid, we were all. And I have to tell you, Niall, as a child, I used to pray so hard for those babies in purgatory because they weren't Christians, you know.
That's gone now. I think
idea, gone.
It's gone. Yeah. Limbo was gone. Do you remember Limbo? What was that all about? That's gone too.
All of them.
Yeah, Limbo's gone.
Yeah, and all of this, all those prayers for those babies floating around, you know, souls and you name it.
Mm.
But it hurt me when I was very young.
I remember that.
They cared more for the unborn than they ever cared for the born.
Mm.
You know, it really gets on my wick. Do you know what I mean? They're hypocrites. Because look,
but it's not up to the religion to protect the born. It's up to us as parents to protect the born. Oh, I suppose religion will say, well, you know, somebody has to be there to protect the unborn. You know,
but as a society, but they forget that their part of that society was taking in unmarried mothers and you name it. Did they give one damn about those babies?
Yeah, no, I know.
No. And so when they, you know, and it still is all about men and you name it, but those women and those abortions were caused by men too. And they never get it in the neck.
No, it was the same when you go back to the mother and baby homes. People seem to forget, by the way, there was men involved there too. Men had to get those women pregnant and do a runner.
Yeah.
But mind you, there was a lot of cases, of course, where the men were told to get offside because the parish priest would instruct the woman to go into a mother and baby home. So there was a whole ethos there involved in that and the way people should think about, you know, having a baby outside of wedlock, because I was born in one. But you are 100% right. But in relation to the rules of the Catholic Church, can they change? Because the argument is, how can you change the rules? Because the rules are in the Bible. Do you know what I mean? You can't really change it.
Stick to their own rules, Niall. Do you know, like, if they're the ones that are educated in canon law, I'm wandering around having a clue. 1.569, whatever. Never heard of that in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So they're the ones that make them, and they're the ones that were breaking them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And the ones that had the courage and the ones that had the integrity left it because it wasn't for them, i.e., you know, celibacy, right? You know, to expect a man, you know, to be wandering, or a gay man mostly, they're mostly gay, to be wandering around and hoping, you know, that the feelings would go away. But the ones that left the church because they knew they were...
I mean, no, the idea of expecting a man to be celibate was disastrous. But let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with the Bible. That was brought...
No.
That was a man-made rule.
It's not canon law.
Yeah.
It was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a man-made rule to stop inheritance.
In between.
Yeah. They didn't want little babies inheriting, you know, money from the church. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Do you know, like, and so everywhere... And every religion, you know, it seems to me, decides, you know, sort of thing like over, you know, different ones would decide and life means different to different types of people or different parts of the world. You know, life is cheap in some areas and whatever. And we in our history have never, ever, now that the decision, I can't believe even to this day that, you know, with Bresper and all of these places and all the horror stories of what women went through in this country. I would have more respect for that priest if he stood up and said, listen, you know, I won't give you Holy Communion, but I'm also really, really sorry for all those babies that are still in a sewer. You know, he didn't do it, but he's part of that game. He's part of that organisation.
Well, I don't know, and I must look back to see, you know, Father Burke has been outspoken on those matters in the past, and I would like to think he might have been, because I spoke to him earlier on, I've spoken to him before, and he seems like a very fair man. So maybe he has been outspoken on those kind of issues in the past. Gladys, listen, thank you very much indeed, and Stephen, I appreciate you coming on the air to talk to us today. Some of your messages, by the way, coming in as well on WhatsApp. We're going to play it there now for you. Hold on.
I think it's appalling, you know. In the Catholic Church, we're a practicing priest, you know, we're all of God's children, you know. Well, that's Paul. Paul doesn't believe in that. Anyway, however, the way I look at it is, like, does he have the same ethos, like, when it comes to confession and stuff like that? Like, that priest personalised and judged that man. Who gives him the right to judge another person?
Jesus.
He's not God. Yes. He's not Jesus. Yes. He's not. He's just a man. That's it. He's got a blessing. You know what I mean? He grew up and he eats and he goes to the toilet and he does everything else the same as another human being. You know what I mean? Him and his flock.
Well, yeah, but he does have a level of authority because he is a priest. He's spreading God's word. So, Sarah, when you say he doesn't have a right, he does have a right. And by the way, to clarify again, you know, for everybody, I suppose, in this particular story, it's not Father Gabriel Burke that excommunicated him. The law, canon law, says he's that any person involved or accomplice involved, you know, in abortion under Section 1329 is automatically excommunicated. So that's just the way it goes. Some of your messages coming in, by the way, somebody says, I'm a Catholic. You can be pro-choice and pro-life. Women have to come first. How can you be pro-choice and pro-life at the same time? That doesn't make any sense. No, you can't. Sorry, you just can't. Another person says, not a box. A bot says, the early church, I think, accepted Aristotle's view that incitement of a fetus didn't happen immediately. That should be taken into account. Or ensoulment, sorry, what did I say there? I sounded like Joe Biden there for a second. Emma says, since the abortion supporters are so big into choice, Mr. Burke also has a choice. Follow God or man. Choose wisely. David says, not sure that the Catholic Church have the best record when it came to protecting the lives of babies. They should remember what they did to the remains of babies in tomb. Yes, by the way, there was the print that was on the sheet. That's why I read out ensoulment wrong. I do apologise. I wasn't having a Joe Biden moment, in case you think I was. Anyway, listen, thank you very much to everybody for getting involved in the show. I should maybe do a whole Joe Biden moment now. Thank you very much indeed to my producer, Mr. Putin. Don't forget, by the way, if you do want to support the show, thank you. Yesterday, by the way, somebody sent us a nice donation, and we really do appreciate it. It's obviously not going to be enough to pay the bills, so we would really appreciate if you can send us a donation, or if you can subscribe to all our previous podcasts, which you can watch on our website, nileboylan.com. You can either donate for a small amount or a large amount. It doesn't matter. You can go onto the website there and donate. Any amount will help us to pay those bills. And of course, a lot of that money now we're going to invest because, as you know, we have a media company on the way, Getter Media, that will be happening in the next couple of months. It's going to be an alternative, or should I say Retter Media, because it's going to be an alternative media company, which will provide you with alternative news. So it's Retter Media. If you want to go to the website, it's rettermedia.com. You'll kind of get a clue as to what's going on. Obviously, the website's not complete yet, but you'll get a clue as to what's going on and what we're trying to provide. We are in talks with individuals at the moment in relation to that. Lots of different podcasters, lots of different presenters and producers and everything else we're in talks with. But in the meantime, please do support this podcast because, of course, this podcast is really important that you get on the air, have your view, have your opinion. You even heard Father Burke earlier on saying it's the first time he's come onto a show and he's been allowed to speak freely. And you are allowed to speak freely, obviously within the realms of the law. So please do support us. www.nileboylan.com. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.